Simon & Schuster Audio presents Zachary Ying and the Dragon Emperor by Shiran J. Zhao, read by Neo Sihi. To my family, who didn't take this writing thing seriously at first, and then not even after my first book deal, but finally did after this one. Chapter 1. How to Get Superpowers by Reading Wikipedia. Zach had learned to stop opening the lunches his mom packed for him in front of his friends. He didn't eat them anymore, either. He loved his mom's cooking, but his friends always wrinkled their noses as if the pungent sauces and spices hit them like a physical wave. Of course, they made a big deal out of how the one Asian kid in school had the weirdest food. Ugh, he hated that this was a stereotype. Why care what others say? His mom had been baffled when he'd begged her to just make him sandwiches. My cooking is way tastier than slices of meat slapped between bread. She wasn't wrong, but she didn't understand the problem. Zach had finally gotten a steady friend group after going to a different middle school than his few friends from elementary. He didn't want to risk getting left out again. Yet no matter how many times he told his mom she didn't need to cook him full-on Chinese meals, she never listened, because, where would you get your nutrition?
And whenever he'd come home with his lunch uneaten, even with the excuse that he'd been practicing fasting for Ramadan, her scientist side would activate, and she'd unleash yet another lecture about the daily amount of protein and healthy vegetables a 12-year-old boy needed.
It was easier to just pretend he'd eaten them. Ignoring the stab of guilt to his heart, Zach hurried down the empty hallway with his lunchbox tucked under his arm, like he was smuggling something illegal. He stopped in front of a row of color-coordinated trash bins and unzipped the lunchbox. The smell of stir-fried green beans and beef slices heaped juicily over rice exploded through the air. It made his mouth water, and he couldn't help but eat a few sauce-soaked pieces with the chopsticks packed to the side. But he stepped back as he remembered the smell might stick to his hair and clothes. Plus, he didn't want someone to catch him eating near literal trash bins in a hallway. The last thing he needed was another reason for the other kids to call him weird. He popped open the compost bin.
Whoa, kid, are you really letting all that food go to waste?
Zach startled at the voice. So close, it was practically in his head. It was deep and gruff like a teacher's, yet when Zach looked around the hallway, there was no one else around. He set his lunchbox on the lid of the paper waste bin and checked his phone. No sudden notifications or apps that had opened or anything. He dug out the other device in his pockets that could have made a sound. His augmented reality portal lens from XY Technologies. He slid it on over his eyes. Its clear interface spanned his vision as a single long lens.
Transparent neon widgets for stuff like the time, temperature, and weather popped up along the edges of his view.
But he'd gotten no new notifications there either.
Hey, do you play Mithram on that?
Zach jumped. This time it was for sure a real person speaking. Though instead of a deep, gruff voice, it was another boy. Another Asian boy. Coming down the hall with a shy smile. The shiny floor glistened like a path of light beneath him. Zach couldn't help his shock. This part of town was so white that he'd been the only Asian kid all through sixth grade. He wondered if the boy was just here for summer school, or if he'd stay for the fall. Who doesn't play Mithram? Zach composed himself and pressed his voice low, as he always did when talking to someone new, because otherwise the first impression they got was that he looked and sounded like a girl. Even short hair and baggy clothes didn't help when he was so scrawny. Still, he smiled a little. He loved being able to make friends through Mithram. It had been a long time coming. The game, and XY Technologies' portal lenses in general, had blown up about 3 years ago. But that had also been when he and his mom had to move out of New York because she could no longer afford it. So she couldn't afford to get him a portal lens then, either.
Mythrealm did have a phone app version, but the controls were much more cumbersome, so nobody wanted to play with the kid who had to use their phone exclusively. Only after Zack's mom had surprised him with a portal lens on his birthday last year had he finally been able to play for real, make friends through it, and even earn a little money from the trades on the secondary market, which was how he could afford to buy school lunches every day instead of eating what his mom had packed.
"I'm even on the school team," Zack added. "That's why I'm here.
Get some classes out of the way in summer, and there's more time to prep for tournaments in the fall."
"That's awesome! Wanna add each other?"
the boy said while opening the Mythrealm app on his phone. His accent sounded like Zack's mom's, which meant he was probably also from mainland China, speaking Mandarin Chinese as a first language. Zack's excitement slowed into caution, as it always did when he met another kid from China. There was a chance that politics would get between them, considering that Zack's mom had to flee with him from the Chinese government when he was just a baby. Most Westerners thought of Chinese people as all having the same background and same beliefs, but that couldn't be further from the truth.
Zack was often frustrated that English labeled them all as Chinese, while in Mandarin there was a clear difference between Hua Ren, someone of Chinese descent, and Da Lu Ren, someone from mainland China.
Hua Ren had been migrating all over the world for centuries, maybe millennia.
Back in New York, his mom's Chinese friends had been mostly from Taiwan, Malaysia, Singapore, and other Southeast Asian countries. Those who were Hua Ren, but not Da Lu Ren, and thus were more likely to be against the mainland Chinese government as she was.
It wasn't that Zack had to stay away from all fellow mainlanders. After all, his mom had friends from there too, but he first had to figure out if the boy was gung-ho about the Chinese government, the way some kids here believed the American government was all good and powerful without questioning it, before getting too close to him. It was an awkward question to ask right away, though, so Zack just flashed a hopefully natural-looking smile and opened his own Mythrealm profile on his portal lens, which was connected to his phone app.
"So you're Zachary Ying, right?"
The boy held up the friending QR code on his phone screen.
"I'm Simon Lee."
"How'd you know my name?"
Zack frowned as he pointed a finger beneath the code, which made his portal lens scan it.
A thin neon square closed around the code and flashed. Then, Simon's profile popped up in Zack's view.
He tapped the floating friend request button.
"A teacher told me."
Zack blinked fast. He didn't know how to feel about that.
He could guess what had happened. Simon must have dropped into summer school for some August classes, and a teacher must have told him to find Zack, as if they should automatically be friends just because they were both Chinese.
It was another sharp reminder that when people looked at Zack, Chinese was all they saw.
"Ha ha, of course the two Asian kids found each other,"
he could already imagine the other kids saying.
A familiar exhaustion weighed down on Zack. He was tired of being singled out because of how he looked, which had gotten so much worse after moving to Maine. Back in New York, people were so diverse that his race was hardly a huge deal. But here, it was like he walked with a glaring sign saying, "Foreigner." He didn't get it. He was as American as any other kid in his classes. He couldn't even speak Mandarin besides a few basic phrases. Why couldn't people see past his face?
"So is your family name the same Ying as the first emperor's?"
Simon turned his phone back toward himself. His thick bangs seriously needed trimming. They were so long that they basically hid his eyes.
"The what?"
Zack took off his portal lens and smoothed out his own hair, which his mom always complained was too messy.
"The first emperor of China. Everyone calls him by his title, Qin Shi Huang, but his real name was Ying Zheng. Is your Ying the same as his Ying?
I mean,
There are a couple of different family names that are read as Ying, but his is really rare. Cause, you know, most of his kids were killed when his dynasty fell. But if your Ying is his Ying, you're probably from a surviving lineage.
What are you talking about? Zack's own last name didn't sound like a real word anymore. Well, it never sounded like a real word. He had no idea if it meant anything. Besides, he hated it. He'd been teased all his life about how it made his name sound like a verb. Zacharying. Past definitions included running out of breath faster than anyone else in gym, acting like a girl when you're a boy, and of course, bringing weird food to school.
You don't know who the first emperor of China is?
Simon recoiled.
Wow, what is going on in American schools? He, like, invented China. That's a big deal, even for world history. By 221 BCE, he had conquered the seven warring states and declared himself...
Oh god, this was too much.
Ha ha, of course the two Chinese kids are nerding out about ancient Chinese history together,
Zack imagined other kids saying again. Listen, he cut Simon off. Speaking of history, I actually have that class right now, and I told the teacher I'd only be at the bathroom for a little while. I'll see you around, okay?
Oh, okay.
Simon whipped his bangs out of his eyes, which caught the gleam of his phone screen.
You should search up the first emperor of China, though. He's pretty cool. I'll send you a link.
All right, thanks. Zack snatched his lunchbox off the paper waste bin lid.
Wait, were you gonna throw that food out?
Simon pointed.
What?
Zack laughed a little too stiffly. He slapped the compost bin shut. Of course not. I was throwing something else out.
Kid. You care way too much about what other people think.
Zack jolted, then looked around as cold sweat broke under his shirt and jeans. That voice definitely didn't come from his phone or portal lens.
What's wrong?
Simon's gaze turned weirdly piercing. Nothing, just...
Bye.
Zack shuffled away. When he passed the bathroom... He briefly thought of flushing his lunch down a toilet, but he couldn't stomach the idea of doing that to his mom's cooking. At least compost went somewhere valuable, or so he told himself. Maybe the voice was his conscience? But since when were consciences so loud? Once Zack got back to history class, he sat down with his friends to continue their project on Alexander the Great.
Welcome back.
Had fun.
Quipped Aiden from across the small round table, twirling his tablet pen with a lazy grin. He was the captain of their Mythrealm team, and Zack's heart had an embarrassing tendency to beat faster around him. Not only was Aiden absurdly tall, his short blonde hair was always impeccably styled.
I got held up by this random new Chinese kid, actually, Zack muttered, averting his gaze from Aiden's pale blue eyes.
You guys heard anything about him?
Why are you asking us? You're the one who's also Chinese,
said Trevor, another member of their Mythrealm team. He had shaggy brown hair and wore the same weather-worn hoodie year-round. Or maybe it was two twin hoodies that he switched around. Theories differed.
That doesn't mean I know anything about him, Zack sputtered. That's why I'm asking.
Trevor's hand shot up in defense.
Sorry, don't sue me.
Zack tensed back a sigh, not wanting to seem so sensitive that he'd get offended at a single comment. After checking to make sure Miss Fairweather was busy helping another group, he scrolled on his phone under the table. Simon had already sent him a message on Mythrealm and a link to an article about the first emperor of China.
This kid's kind of intense. He said a whole bunch of stuff about some emperor and made me add him on Myth.
Whoa.
What?
Trevor peeked over at Zack's phone, which was open to Simon's Mythrealm profile.
It showcased six virtual myth creatures in Simon's collection, visible to friends only. All of them were maxed rank and extremely rare.
Trevor's jaw dropped as well.
Is that an exalted level 10 Hydra? He exclaimed, drawing looks from a nearby table. And an exalted level 10 Chinese dragon?
Zack shot a nervous glance at Miss Fairweather, ready to pocket his phone. Luckily, she didn't seem to have heard.
Are you serious? Aiden snatched the phone from Zack. Dude, I've been needing an exalted version of that. How much is it worth now?
Trevor did a quick search on his own phone, then looked up with a mind-blown expression.
About $2,000 on Mithrome Exchange. No way that kid could have caught all these on his own.
Aiden's wide eyes reflected the glow of Zack's phone.
His family must be rich.
Well, duh, he's an international student.
Trevor shrugged, in almost a defeated way.
They're all rich.
Zack isn't rich, Aiden said. His mom works at Target.
Heat scorched Zack's ears, but he tried to keep his tone unbothered.
I'm not an international student, and my mom works at UMaine, too.
Well, my sister says these crazy rich Asians are all over UCLA, wearing Supreme and driving BMWs and Porsches.
Trevor huffed.
More like University of Caucasians lost among Asians.
Aiden choked out a laugh.
You're so not allowed to say that.
We're friends with Zack. We get a pass, right?
Trevor nudged an elbow at Zack, grinning.
Zack
didn't know how to answer that. He just reached to take his phone back.
Dude, you need to actually become this kid's friend.
Aiden waved the phone in a way that prevented Zack from getting it.
You gotta borrow this dragon for me.
Zack drew his hand back as casually as possible, so he wouldn't seem desperate for his phone. Aiden would prank him by keeping it longer if he sensed it.
Ugh, you weakling. These boys are no true friends.
Zack sucked in a sharp breath. What was that voice? How was it speaking right in his head?
Zack?
Aiden leaned closer. Did you hear me? Zack hesitated. Whenever Aiden said borrow, he never meant the part where you gave the thing back. A few months ago, when walking near a pond with Mithrilm open on his portal lens, Zack had captured a super rare level 5 Boto, a shapeshifting dolphin from South American myth. The next day, Aiden had borrowed it. He still had it.
Come on, Zack said.
He's never gonna let me borrow a $2,000 creature. If his parents are letting a 12-year-old, is he also 12? Have that? That amount of money is obviously nothing to his family. Besides, it's not like we could lose it.
You already have a level 10 Chinese dragon, Aiden. It does the same thing.
Exalted Mithrilm creatures were only different aesthetically, having a fancier design that spawns with a 1 in 10,000 chance.
But it's not exalted. Look, I'm running my water type roster for the next regionals. If you don't get this for me, my Chinese dragon will be my only creature that's plain.
No one's gonna expect you to have an exalted one, Zack pleaded. Unlike Western dragons, Chinese dragons controlled water, not fire, and were by far the most powerful water-type creature in Mithrilm, and thus rarer than rare.
But imagine their faces if I do show up with it. It would make our rep forever.
Aiden stared into Zack's soul with his striking blue eyes, making Zack's skin grow uncomfortably warm.
Come on, dude. Be a team player.
Zack bit his lips together. It didn't look like Aiden was going to back down, and he didn't want Aiden to hold a grudge against him. He couldn't lose his friends and go back to being the weird kid eating alone at lunch.
Fine. I'll talk to him.
A dazzling smile broke across Aiden's face. He pointed at Trevor with his chin, then bumped Zack on the shoulder.
We'll come with you. Give you some moral support.
He placed Zack's phone back in front of him.
Tell him to meet us after school.
Okay. When Aiden said us, Zack didn't know he meant them, Trevor, plus three other boys on their team, also taking summer classes.
Zack!
Simon laughed nervously in the looming shadows of Zack and his five teammates. They were at the school's back entrance, right near the turf and running track.
Did you read that link I sent you?
Not yet, sorry. Zack scratched the back of his head. He didn't like how it looked, them crowding around Simon. But saying something like, "Don't worry, we're not here to beat you up," seemed like it'd make everything worse.
"So Simon," Aiden slipped on his portal lens, "Zack tells me you have an exalted level 10 Chinese dragon."
He strode toward the running track as he spoke, and everyone followed, equipping themselves with their own portal lenses. Mithrealm players never wasted time standing around outside. They were always on the move, collecting the virtual creatures and in-game items that spawned everywhere.
I didn't tell him that. Not deliberately.
Zack adjusted his portal lens to hide his guilty glance at Simon.
I just showed them your profile, because of how impressive it is.
Yeah, it really is impressive.
Aiden peered sideways at Simon.
Listen, I don't know how the tournament circuit works in China, but over here, we have a regional one in 2 weeks.
I'm running my water roster. I would really appreciate it if you let me borrow your dragon.
Simon clutched the straps of his school bag.
Come on, you'd be doing me a huge favor.
Simon stopped walking, shoes scuffing the red paved track.
That dragon is pretty important to me. I don't know if I'd feel comfortable lending it out.
Aiden halted as well, spinning towards Simon with his hands in his jean pockets.
Relax. We'll give it back right after.
Simon glanced up at the group. He was taller than Zack, but shorter than Zack's five teammates, so they seemed to be bearing down on him.
Just when he looked about to stutter out something else, he suddenly squeezed his eyes shut as if hit with a wave of pain.
A strong wind blew over, rustling everyone's hair and skimming a raindrop across Zack's portal lens. Zack flinched, but the material of the lens was so water-resistant that moisture slid right off and no watermark lingered. When Simon opened his eyes again, there was something completely different about him.
I'm not giving you my dragon, he snapped with shocking force.
He raised his chin and straightened his back. His stare turned as sharp as knife edges under his thick bangs. Aiden bristled.
Zack exchanged bewildered looks with the others, relieved to find he wasn't the only one who had noticed Simon's change.
As the wind blew Simon's hair out of his eyes, he looked strangely familiar. Yet Zack couldn't figure out from where. Aiden recovered and said,
Why? Are you actually coming to the regionals with the dragon or something?
It doesn't matter, Simon said. You're not getting the dragon, and that's that.
Chills shivered across Zack's shoulders. He was awed by Simon's audacity, the confidence he was summoning despite being surrounded by six other boys. Where had it come from? More and more, raindrops plummeted from the sky, streaking across Simon's portal lens. Yet he didn't even blink. A scowl scrunched up Aiden's face. Then he relaxed his expression and leaned down slightly.
Are you staying here past the summer? Wouldn't you want to join our team?
Zack had never heard someone chuckle in real life, but Simon made a sound pretty close to how villains did it in movies.
Team? This game isn't even played in teams. You call yourself a team because you pool your resources and knowledge. I have more of that than all of you combined. Why would I downgrade?
Wow, Aiden lurched back. Didn't think you'd be such an arrogant little jerk.
Simon laughed again.
It's just a silly game. Don't take it so seriously.
Lightning flashed across the school grounds, glinting in Simon's eyes. Aiden's fists clenched. Panic burst through Zack's chest. He darted in front of Simon just as the shove from Aiden came. Aiden's palm smashed into Zack's collarbone, jarring him against Simon. Simon stumbled a step back, steadying Zack by his shoulders.
Dude, stop!
Zack said to Aiden, surprising himself with how firm he sounded. Fear instinctively recoiled into him, but a few murmurs of agreement from his other teammates gave him the courage to go on.
If he doesn't want to give us the dragon, he doesn't have to,
This is going too far. You're making the team look bad. No, you're making the team look bad. A wild intensity bloomed in Aiden's eyes. You always made it look bad. I never wanted you on it. Before Zack could process the shock of hearing that, thunder crashed and rumbled in the distance. Aiden snatched Zack by the arm. Give me that dragon, Aiden shouted at Simon while shaking Zack. His grip was so painful that Zack gasped, terrified that his bones might actually break. Transfer it to my account right now, or I'll hurt him. Variations of, whoa, man, erupted from their teammates. Trevor made a grab for Aiden's elbow. Stay out of this! Aiden smacked Trevor with his free arm. Trevor went sailing out of the track. He landed in the inner turf with a thud and a scream of pain. Zack was so stunned he couldn't breathe. The cries of his three other teammates reached him distantly, as if through a tunnel. They ran to help Trevor while casting horrified glances over their shoulders. Another flash of lightning blanched their faces. It was now raining so thickly that the tips of Zack's hair plastered to his scalp. He didn't understand what was going on. No matter how much of a jerk Aiden could be, he would never do this. This wasn't him. You have 10 seconds, Aiden yelled at Simon, fingers crushing Zack's arm. A yelp shot out of Zack's throat. Simon said nothing. He stared intently at Zack, as if expecting something to happen. Dragon, now! Aiden kept demanding. Zack, Simon said, deathly calm. In 221 BCE, the first emperor of China unified the 7 warring states and founded the Qin Dynasty, the first imperial dynasty of... Aiden twisted Zack's arm. Zack screamed. How could Simon be rambling about Chinese history right now? What are you... Zack choked on his words upon catching sight of Aiden's face in his periphery. Aiden's eyes were glowing completely fluorescent green, and a Mithrealm tag hovered beside his face. Tao Tie, Tao Tie, Dark Type, Origin, Chinese. A malevolent creature of greed with the body of a goat, the fangs of a tiger, the hands of a human, and eyes under its armpits. It will eat whatever it sees, even if it means stuffing itself to death. No matter how Zack moved his head, the tag's indicator ring encircled Aiden's rain-splattered face. Not only that, but an energy meter trailed above the tag, and Zack's own energy meter appeared at his bottom right, just like the interface during a Mithram battle. Simon went on in a rush of words. The Qing Dynasty set up a government system that'd be used for the next 2,000 years. The first emperor built the Great Wall and the Terracotta Army and... With an almost animalistic howl, Aiden switched his grip from Zack's arm to Zack's neck, lifting him into the air. Zack screamed again while kicking uselessly against Aiden's legs. What were the others doing? Were they just standing on the turf and gawking? Zack tried to pry at Aiden's grasp, but his strength was pathetic compared to Aiden's. It had always been. If only Zack were stronger. If only. Simon let out an exasperated sigh. Zack, click the link I sent you! He yelled over Zack's shrieking while taking out his phone. A new message from him popped up on Zack's portal lens. Simon Lee. Read it! Wheezing, Zack double-tapped the air where the transparent notification appeared. It opened to his chat history with Simon. He aligned his finger with the link and tapped again. A web page flew open on his portal interface. Qin Shi Huang, birth name Ying Zheng, was the first emperor of a unified China. He was born in 259 BCE. As he skimmed the summary, something happened to him. His senses retreated into himself, as if plunging into water. Aiden and the whole chaos of the situation faded to darkness. A shadowy figure in heavy black robes appeared in Zack's mind.
Finally, be my mortal host, boy, and I will do everything in my power to grant you your greatest desire.
the figure said in the same low, gruff voice Zack had heard earlier.
So tell me, what is the one thing you wish most direly for?
Aiden may have faded out of Zack's awareness, but Zack's heart still thrashed with panic.
I want to be stronger, he blurted. Make me stronger.
The figure burst into echoing laughter, then rushed at Zack like howling wind.
That's what I like to hear.
Before Zack could scream again, reality blew back into his senses, but everything was dimmer, duller. Aiden was still clutching him by the neck, yet Zack's arms hung limp at his sides. He couldn't move them.
Zack heard a growl rip out of his own throat, even though he'd had no intention of making a noise like that.
A string of words that sounded vaguely Chinese, but not any dialect Zack recognized, rasped from his mouth. In his utter confusion, he caught how his energy meter dropped a huge chunk. Then everything slowed down. Literally. In vivid detail, Zack saw the deepening grooves of Aiden's contorting expression, the lashing of his tongue, and the individual flecks of spittle flying out of his mouth. As if controlled by someone else, Zack's arm shot up at normal speed and wrenched Aiden's fingers from his neck.
When Zack dropped to the ground, the rainwater under his soles splashed out from the red track in slow motion, like two watery crowns.
He tried to turn and run, but his body still wouldn't respond. It cleared a distance from Aiden with several backward steps, then the flow of time coursed back to normal like a restarted train. Aiden looked disoriented for a second, grasping at the air where Zack used to be. Then he snarled and charged toward Zack. Zack's arms swung out and slammed downward. At once, a storm descended. A downpour of water struck the track like a million tiny bullets, wave after wave after wave. So loud, he could barely hear Aiden's hollering, and so thick, he could barely see their teammates freaking out on the turf. Everyone else was drenched within seconds, yet Zack remained dry. The rain swerved around him like a wet, ghostly aura. He felt his fists clench and curl upward, as if lifting two heavy dumbbells. The groundwater swirled up like a twister around him. Zack's mind went blank except for one thing. Unlike Western dragons, Chinese dragons controlled water, not fire. To his rising horror, a network of black lines darkened across his arms, like veins, except straighter and more angular. Despite not getting wet, a coldness seeped into his bones. His energy meter drained steadily. His hands drew inward with a massive effort he only faintly felt, then made the motion of throwing a baseball. The frothy twister of water around him hurtled toward Aiden as a single shooting stream. It splattered on and on into Aiden's chest, making him stagger and stumble. Zack's body stepped forward calmly. Bolts of lightning shot down around him as he walked, each coming with an earth-shaking clap of thunder, charring craters into the track. The air practically hummed, charged with the smell of burning rubber. His every hair rose on its end.
What the heck is happening?
All Zack wanted to do was scream and run and hide, yet his body refused to obey. His black-lined fingers splayed to the sides. The rainstorm gathered into orbs of churning water beneath his palms. His hands slammed the orbs together and thrust the combined water forward. It caught Aiden's head and trapped it, swirling around it like a sphere of liquid glass. Flailing, Aiden tripped over his own feet and fell. He rolled over the wet track and onto the turf, but the water wouldn't let his head go. His energy meter dropped rapidly. Fresh terror surged through Zack.
Stop!
He tried to yell, but the sound wouldn't come out anywhere. His black-lined hands extended before him like claws, moving in circles that matched the water sphere's motion. Aiden grasped for his throat, hands splashing into the water, but it was useless. His energy meter drained to its last quarter. Zack had a bad feeling about what would happen if the meter hit zero.
Stop, stop it!
He struggled for control over his body,
Back off, kid!
Came both out of his mouth and in his head. The voice in his head was the same one that had been haunting him all day. Zack was sure then he was being possessed. The voice was using his body to kill Aiden.
Be my mortal host, it had said.
Oh God, what had Zack agreed to? He'd made a terrible mistake. This wasn't what he wanted. Stop, stop, stop! He mentally shrieked over and over. His hands in the water sphere faltered a little.
Kid, shut up!
The voice snapped. Zack refused.
Stop, 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 stop! No, you're going to stop, stop, stop!
The word finally broke free from his mouth.
Zack swore his breath came out like black mist for a moment before the world sharpened.
His senses crashed back to their full depths. The sphere of water collapsed, leaving Aiden choking for air. His energy meter stopped draining, almost depleted. Zack's legs buckled. His knees hit the wet track, his previously dry jeans soaking instantly. The storm weighed down his hair and drenched his skin like a shower. The black lines faded from his skin, and so did the bone-biting coldness. Messages appeared on his portal lens, having no sender's name.
No. What have you done?
The rain leveled off to a drizzle. Dark green smoke curled out of Aiden's mouth. It briefly took a monstrous shape before unraveling in the air. His energy meter vanished. Zack's breath came in short, hyperventilating spurts. He braced against the track, vision swinging, nausea tiding in his belly. Another message came, but this time it bore a name, Ching Shi Huang.
You truly don't know what you've done, boy.
Chapter 2. How Not to Win a Battle Using Soup. Zack ran home. He thought he heard Simon calling after him, but he didn't turn back. He didn't want to stay there for another second. His sneakers scuffed and pounded over wet sidewalks. He scrunched up his school bag shoulder strap so the bag wouldn't keep thumping against his hip. Suburban houses flew past him. For once, he didn't drag this trip out to harvest as many Mithraelm items as he could before they stopped spawning after dark. He didn't care about any of that anymore. When the strange messages wouldn't stop coming, he deleted the Mithraelm app from his phone and portal lens. He considered throwing his portal lens into the street altogether, but one thought about how long his mom had saved up to buy it for him, and he couldn't bear it. He shoved it into his school bag instead. He made it to the side door of the basement suite he and his mom lived in. His hand shook so hard it took him several tries to tap in the right passcode for the smart lock. Once he shoved his way in, he ditched his bag on a chair near the kitchen table like it was a ticking bomb, then bounded for his room and slammed the door behind him. He sank into the carpet, back hitting his bed frame. A dreary slant of light cut through the narrow window that peaked above ground. For a small eternity, he sat with his face in his trembling hands, struggling for air. His teeth chattered, and his soaked clothes clung to him like frost. He wiggled out of them, but the wet coldness remained so uncomfortable that he had to go take a hot shower.
The moment he turned on the showerhead, the sight of the jetting water stopped him dead.
The memory of himself gathering rain into orbs of water while striding between striking bolts of lightning flashed back to him. A prickle raced up his scalp. He stared at the water as it gradually steamed up, then stepped into the shower stall and cautiously moved his hands around.
Nothing happened.
Nothing stirred in him in response to the water beating down on his body, except a sharp pain when it turned too hot. Hissing, he wrenched the temperature down. He didn't feel anything that suggested he could control the water. Had everything been a dream? A hallucination? Simon and his teammates could tell him. Maybe some of them had even caught a video with their phones.
But that wasn't Zack controlling the water.
Not him trying to drown Aiden. Oh God, what if they thought it was?
What if they reported him as a super-powered murderer? Zack scrambled out of the shower, grabbed a towel, and hurried back to his room to dig his phone out of his damp pants. His wet feet soaked the carpet further. No new posts from his teammates, no internet mob flooding his notifications. A relieved sigh heaved out of him, and he sat down on his bed, toweling himself. But he tensed back up, because his teammates were too silent. What happened after he left? Was Trevor okay? Was Aiden? Why hadn't he stayed to make sure? Zack berated himself for running away without figuring things out. Yet when he opened his messenger app, his thumbs hovered uselessly. He couldn't muster the courage to text any of them. Wimp, he thought, curling up beneath his covers. Demonic possession. Spiritual possession. First Emperor of China. Huddling in his bed, Zack paused on the search results of that last term. There was a bunch of news about how there'd been a recent earthquake near the Emperor's massive, mercury-filled mausoleum. Too freaked out to continue, Zack closed the page without tapping anything. Listening to the info Simon had blabbed out and reading the link he'd sent was how Zack had lost control of his body. The searches about possession hadn't been any help either. They'd been all about psychiatrists trying to debunk it or Christian-centric possession stories. He was pretty sure his case had nothing to do with those. No, he'd been possessed by the first emperor of China? He wanted to laugh off that idea. It was ridiculous. That kind of stuff only happened in movies. But he couldn't deny what had gone down on that track. In that storm. The storm that his body had controlled. Tell me, what is the one thing you wish most direly for? Make me stronger. Had he accidentally made a deal with the Emperor? A monkey's paw wish. The kind that came true in the worst possible way. He'd read a short story about that in English last year. But how could something like that happen in real life? Zack scrolled mindlessly on his phone, watching videos of people doing silly things and telling silly stories, laughing occasionally like a robot without really feeling any better inside. Only when the newest promo video from XY Technologies popped up did he really pay attention. It was a teaser for the latest generation of portal lenses, X6, releasing later this year. But it wasn't the new functions and incredible specs that snagged Zack's mind, but the person talking about them over a chill, futuristic-sounding beat. Xuan Ji Hong, a.k.a. Jason Xuan, founder of XY Technologies. He was everything Zack wanted to be. Looking at him talking about revolutionary display pixels and unprecedented battery life with his movie star looks, sharp suit, and glinting expensive watch, Zack felt worse about doing nothing but cowering in his bed. Jason had also lost his father when he was a baby, though he'd had it even tougher than Zack, having grown up in rural China. But he had studied so hard and won so many coding competitions in his teens that he'd received a full-ride scholarship to MIT. There he developed his idea of portal lenses into reality, then founded XY Technologies to create features and games for them. By age 24, he was a millionaire. Now, 10 years later, he was a billionaire, leading the tech and gaming worlds. So prolific that he was instrumental in convincing the Chinese government to drop some of their strict video gaming restrictions. In every interview with him that Zack had watched, Jason gave credit to his mom for devoting her life to raising him and teaching him both discipline and innovation. Just like Zack's mom, who'd been a biochemical engineer back in China, but had to work mostly retail jobs in America while raising him alone. Yet for the longest time, she'd never made him feel like they were struggling. He'd been so much happier when he'd been little, when he hadn't realized his mom had been lying on those nights when she would make him dinner but not eat anything herself because she had already eaten. Other kids had been simpler back then, too,
not noticing or caring that Zack's clothes and shoes were never new, or that he watched free documentaries on YouTube instead of the newest Netflix shows, or that he and his mom never went on any vacations or ate at any fancy restaurants.
When she had free time and the sun was shining, she would pack some food and take him for a picnic in Central Park, and that had been enough for him. A wave of hot shame rolled through Zack as he remembered how he had pleaded and begged for a portal lens before his 9th birthday, then how his mom had burst into tears the night before it, saying how sorry she was that she couldn't get it for him without worrying if they could make rent, and that she wasn't even sure they could afford to stay in New York.
That had been the night Zack had realized he couldn't be like other kids anymore, that he had to get straight A's and stay out of trouble and never add more to his mom's worries. This was why Zack never told his mom about his issues making new friends every time they moved, first from New York to Maine when he was in 3rd grade, and then to a different neighborhood after he graduated elementary school.
He didn't want her to regret any decision to make her own life easier. She was able to get a part-time position in the labs at UMaine, the first step to picking up her science career again. And they were much less strapped for money.
Even though the basement suite they now lived in was still a basement suite, it was roomier than their apartment in New York and quieter than their first home in Maine. After hearing Jason Shen's story in 4th grade through a YouTube documentary, Zack had learned to code.
He'd been making more and more complex games, though he wasn't brave enough to put them online yet. He didn't dare dream of having a rise like Jason's, but he at least wanted to go to MIT too, and make enough money to give his mom the life she deserved. No more cramped apartments and shady neighborhoods. No more basement suites. No more picking up shifts in stores where customers yelled at her for things she had no control over. Zack was so lost in his dreams for the future that the clatter of the front door almost startled his soul out of his body. He lurched up under his covers. He'd hardly noticed that the rainy daylight had waned from his window.
"Zack?"
his mom called out.
"Yeah?"
He rushed to flip on his light switch. But it was too late. She would have noticed the darkness of their suite as soon as she'd walked in, hence the concern. She knocked on his door.
"You feeling okay?"
"Yeah, was just taking a nap."
"You stay up late playing video games again?"
"No, I was just really tired today. We studied a lot of history."
Before this day, Zack never got why comic book characters who got superpowers always had to hide them. Now he knew. He understood. He related. How was he supposed to begin explaining what had happened without sounding out of his mind?
Okay.
His mom's slippered footsteps shuffled away from his door.
That got him off the hook temporarily. But after a while of pots and pans clanging in the kitchen and noises of sizzling oil and him pacing his room aimlessly, his mom called him out to dinner.
Jason Shen wouldn't hide in his room. Zack took a deep breath, released it, then got dressed. Pretending to be too tired to eat would only worry his mom more. The aches that intensified with his every movement reminded him of the bruises on his arm and neck. So he pulled on a turtleneck. Thankfully, the lingering chill from the storm made the sweater less suspicious. Turtlenecks could always be justified in Maine. Once he stepped out of his room, Zack immediately shut the door after himself. The basement suite was so small that the smell of his mom's cooking stuck to everything it touched. He could never risk leaving his door open during dinner time. Even his mom had to change out of her Target uniform whenever she cooked after a shift there. Their kitchen table was right near the suite entrance. Eyeing his school bag like it was cursed, and his portal lens may well have been, Zack sat down at his bowl of rice in the only other free chair. He'd always wondered why his mom put exactly 3 chairs out. He suspected the 3rd was an unspoken stand-in for his dad, who'd been executed in China when Zack was a baby for acts of terror. which were really just him speaking up against the government's oppression of Uyghur Muslims and other minorities. Zack had never asked for a confirmation, though. As strong-willed as his mom was, his dad was the one thing she couldn't talk about without breaking down into tears. For dinner, she'd made stir-fried eggs and tomatoes, pan-seared fish with plenty of soy sauce, and seaweed and egg drop soup. Zack's lunchbox sat beside the dishes, open and incriminating.
Ying Ziyang,
his mom pointed at it.
You didn't eat your lunch again.
Zack bristled at his Chinese name. His mom only used it when he was in deep trouble. Distracted by the Simon situation, he'd forgotten to take another washroom break during class to compost his lunch.
Sorry, Mom. Wasn't feeling up for it.
Got something from the cafeteria instead.
Got what?
A garden salad? Zack couldn't lie about his very few options, since he was only supposed to eat halal meat, prepared according to Muslim traditions. He could only get vegan stuff from the cafeteria. His mom's brows squeezed upwards.
How much nutrition can a garden salad have? You need to eat more than that. You're a growing boy.
I know, Mom. I just didn't have much of an appetite today.
You sure you're not sick? Are you cold?
She eyed his turtleneck, tone softening, then put one hand to his forehead and the other to her own, checking for a fever.
I'm fine.
Zack pulled back, though discomfort stirred in him at the lie. He wasn't fine. Nothing close to it. He wished he could tell her everything, but she'd never believe him without proof. She'd think he was watching too much anime again. He subtly moved his hand near the soup, hoping it would spurt over the brim or something. Nothing happened. After a slight pause in which his mom pierced him with her best interrogation glare, she asked,
Did you get a bad grade?
No, definitely not.
Then what's wrong?
It's nothing, seriously, I'm not—
Zack's school bag caught his eye. In its gaping opening, his portal lens flashed like a distress beacon. He squashed the bag closed.
Almost forgot, I have a whole bunch of homework to do tonight.
He forced out a laugh when his mom glanced between him and the bag. He dragged the bag closer and fished out his small laptop for good measure. His mom had no issue with him doing homework at dinner. His room was too small to have a desk, so the kitchen table was the only solid surface he could use his laptop on. Hopefully, it would get her to drop this conversation. Just when he opened his laptop beside his rice bowl and searched for a random file to read, a harsh knocking came at the door. Zack and his mom exchanged a quick glance, then she rushed to her room to put her hijab on while he went to answer the door first. After he turned the handle, a cold gust of night air poured in, smelling like wet dirt and concrete. He looked up to find their landlord, Mr. Lansbury, and his son Nathan. Nathan was only a year older than Zack, but he was a lot bigger and always had a mean look on his face, so Zack usually did his best to stay out of his way.
Is something the matter, Mr. Lansbury?
Zack gulped. A landlord visit was never good. And why did he come with Nathan?
Yes, Mr. Lansbury said. I'm afraid we cannot let you live here anymore.
Ice plunged into Zack's stomach.
What? Why?
Because you are a vessel that must be destroyed.
A heated force blasted into Zack. He tripped and fell, landing harshly on his hand. Pain detonated through his arm and hip.
Zack!
His mom lunged from her room, scarlet hijab wrapped securely around her head. She reached him just as another hot ripple warped through the air. She screamed as she hit the floor, limbs jerking unnaturally, as if pulled by something invisible.
At the door, Nathan was making the pulling motions.
Somehow, without contact, he was dragging Zack's mom across the floor.
Mom!
Zack latched on to her ankles, but the force was too strong.
Hot winds blew into his face out of nowhere. They were being attacked by something he couldn't see. If only he could see it. His bag buzzed again and again on its chair, the wood conducting the vibrations. He swore a muffled voice came from it. He barely made out what it was saying over his mom's screams.
Kid, put me on!
As his mom thrashed under the invisible force, Zack had nothing left to lose. He lurched for his bag, fumbled out his buzzing and flashing portal lens, then slid it on. The buzzing and flashing stopped.
Finally,
the gruff voice said, clear and real and outside of Zack's head for the first time, coming from the bone conduction speakers in the arms of the portal lens.
You've made matters very difficult for me, kid.
When Zack looked back at his mom, a gasp jetted from his mouth. He could now see glowing, blurry red sashes tangled around her limbs. They led back to Nathan, who was tugging on them. Whole spools of more sashes swirled and floated like neon mist around Nathan's arms and torso. His eyes were entirely a radiant, demonic red, while Mr. Lansbury's were blazing green. Energy meters hovered near their heads. But this wasn't like Mythrealm after all. In Mythrealm, your energy meter resets after every battle. Zack's meter, at the bottom right of his view, hadn't. It was still the amount he'd had after the Aiden fight, less than half full.
They're being possessed by demon spirits!
The voice that may or may not have been the first emperor of China intensified in Zack's portal lens speakers, pressing against his skull.
I shall lend you my power. Use the soup.
Zack darted his hand toward the bowl. This time, when he willed the soup to move, it did. It bulged and curled like a huge, smooth worm. His energy meter drained even more, and an uncomfortable coldness surged through him from his portal lens. But he had no time to think about it.
He just made the motion of hurling the soup at Nathan.
Some of it whipped against Nathan's face, but most of it splattered over the table and floor. Nathan reared back, but didn't let go of the glowing sashes. Looking Zack dead in the eye, Mr. Lansbury crouched low and raised a hand over Zack's mom's face. Wisps of green light gathered into a hazy form in his grasp, a form that kind of looked like a tiny Asian-styled tower, a pagoda. A curl of luminous breath emerged from his mom's shrieking mouth and slithered into the mini pagoda. She stopped struggling, eyes glazing over in the dull light of the suite.
No!
Zack screamed with all the air in his lungs. He hurled the empty soup bowl at Mr. Lansbury. Nathan casually deflected it with a flick of his hand.
Zack had to dodge it before it shattered against the wall behind him.
He tried to control the puddles of soup on the floor, but there was pathetically little of it, and he couldn't even get that to rise much.
Give me more power,
he begged the voice in his portal lens.
Get more water,
it yelled back. Zack floundered for the kitchen sink. Maybe if he turned on the tap, he could... Nathan's sashes caught around his legs. This time, when Zack collapsed, he landed on his elbows. It hurt so much that his whole body went rigid, and a cry rasped out of his throat. But it was nothing compared to the dread pounding in his chest. Nathan dragged him closer. Mr. Lansbury tilted the green pagoda towards him. Just as Zack's terror spiked to a maximum, someone outside shouted something he didn't understand. A boy's voice, charged with a man's confidence.
Nathan and Mr. Lansbury jolted one after another, as if struck by something in their backs.
Red and green smoke spewed from their respective mouths. Their bodies wobbled, then fell splat to the floor on either side of Zack's mom, revealing a figure in the darkness beyond the door.
It was Simon, holding a tall bow that looked to be made of the same neon red mist as Nathan's sashes.
Behind his portal lens, his eyes shone entirely bright red.
Chapter 3. How video game nerds can be trounced with ancient Chinese military tactics.
Transparent, luminous arrows jutted up from Nathan's and Mr. Lansbury's backs. They vanished like red vapor after a moment, and so did the sashes around Zack's legs. He scrambled to his feet and grabbed the plate of stir-fried eggs and tomatoes, about to chuck it like a frisbee. Simon's hands shot up in defense. The red glow left his eyes. His bow dissolved like wind-blown smoke.
No, calm down. I'm on your side.
My side? Zack gasped for air.
What is my side? What is going on? Mom!
He threw the plate down, greasy egg bits shuddering onto the table, and dropped beside her. He shoved Nathan aside to check on her, putting a finger under her nose. To his overwhelming relief, she was still breathing.
Mom, wake up!
He shook her gently. Her face stayed dull and sullen, framed by her red hijab.
Wake up! Please!
That's no use. The demons have captured her spirit.
Simon stepped into the suite and shut the door behind him, cutting off the cold, shrill winds. His chest heaved deeply, breaths labored. Something that looked like a Mithrealm tag hovered beside him, showing his energy meter at less than a quarter. Yet the info beneath the meter was nothing like a Mithrealm creature's.
Tang Taizong, Emperor Taizong of Tang. Real name, Li Shimin.
Lived 598 to 649 CE. Co-founder of the Tang Dynasty, considered the golden age of ancient China. Righteous jerk who thinks he was so much better of an emperor than the rest of us. Zack blinked at the bizarre tag, then at what Simon said.
Captured her spirit? What does that mean?
Simon dropped to one knee beside the unconscious bodies.
He's bound her spirit to his and escaped. To get it back, you'll have to join us on our mission.
Who? What are you?
Simon hesitated before saying,
I know this will be hard to believe, but I am the spirit of an ancient Chinese emperor known as Tang Taizong.
He touched his chest. Zack couldn't tell if Simon was messing with him, but he truly sounded like an adult despite his boyish voice. His English was suddenly as American as Zack's as well. Had Simon been faking an accent before?
I'm using this boy, Simon Lee, as a mortal host to interact with the material world. This is possible because he's a descendant of mine, just as you are a descendant of Qin Shi Huang, the first emperor of China.
I'm a what?
Precisely what he said, grumbled the voice in Zack's portal lens. You are an 88th generation descendant of mine.
With sweeping polygons, like a virtual construct being rendered, a young man took shape beside Simon, or not Simon, apparently.
Wow, that actually worked.
The young man stared at his virtual hands.
Though his mouth moved as he spoke, his voice still buzzed from the portal lens speakers behind Zack's ears.
He looked like someone out of the Chinese palace dramas that his mom's friends would watch when he'd be over at their apartments after school, waiting for his mom to get off work. Heavy black robes draped from the young man's body, and he wore a headdress like a college graduation hat, except with bead curtains at the front and back that left trails of shadows over his face. The dark circles under his eyes were the worst Zack had ever seen, like he hadn't slept in thousands of years. Yet his gaze was deathly sharp, like the reason he hadn't slept was because he was plotting mass murder. A Mithrealm tag floated beside him as well. Qin Shi Huang, the first emperor of China. Real name? Ying Zheng. Lived 259 to 210 BCE. Glorious unifier of China. Built the Great Wall, commissioned the Terracotta Army, standardized Chinese writing and measuring systems, invented the Huangdi emperor title that all you losers use for the next 2,133 years, also secretly sealed the biggest portal between the spirit and mortal worlds so malicious spirits would no longer roam the lands and cause conflict.
Didn't know Mercury was poisonous, so stop asking him about it.
Zack's mouth popped open. He moved his portal lens up and down over his eyes. The young man and Tag appeared in his portal view only.
Not Simon angled an amused look up at the young man, adjusting his own portal lens.
Huh. So you can appropriate the AR technology to appear without draining your host's energy. That's an unexpected upside to this catastrophe, I guess.
Yes, yes. The young man, who was apparently the first emperor of China, kept checking himself out, spinning in place.
Jason Shen may be a pain to deal with, but his inventions are a marvel.
What's this about Jason Shen? Zack wanted to ask, but he couldn't make himself speak when his brain was still trying to process the scene before him.
Not Simon snorted, oblivious to Zack's turmoil. Aren't you about 2,000 years too old to take your teenage form, though?
It's less intimidating to the boy than appearing as an adult.
The first emperor placed his hands on his hips, floppy sleeves swallowing all hints of his fingers.
He clearly needs considerable convincing to accept me.
I doubt anybody could be convinced to accept you.
But I cannot believe he expelled me. If I didn't bind to this intelligent eyewear instead, our plans would have been foiled.
They still might be.
Not Simon's expression turned more serious. He rose to his feet.
It doesn't seem like you can channel much power into him from the device, can you?
They were doing that adult thing where they were talking about Zack as if he couldn't hear, despite looking right at him. Zack glanced rapidly between them.
He couldn't believe this.
Supernatural beings.
Ghosts really existed.
And here were two of them.
He wouldn't believe it if his mom wasn't unconscious beside him.
Why didn't you come earlier? He finally choked down, interrupting their banter.
What he really wanted to do was shout it, but all his screaming had ruined his voice.
Stunned, Not Simon took a second to react.
I would have if you answered my messages.
We've been trying to get your attention for hours, added the first emperor.
Zack pressed his fingers into his temples, head sagging.
He really, really, really shouldn't have run away. He should have stayed with Not Simon and figured everything out. Why did he have to be such a coward?
Listen, kid, this is what happens when you ignore us,
the first emperor pointed at Zack's mom.
There are forces at work beyond your understanding. If you want to retrieve your mother's spirit, you must do exactly as we say, or her spirit will dissolve, and you will lose her forever. Horror seized Zack's heart like an icy claw.
What do I have to do?
He grasped his mom's hand. It was so cold. He could barely handle looking at her face, at how she wasn't grinning or frowning or arching an eyebrow at him like usual. She just looked empty. He had to keep a hand on her ribs to make sure her heart was still beating. He was beyond disbelief. He just wanted her back.
You have to come with us to China, Not Simon said. That's where the main trouble is.
China? Why? Isn't the demon right here? Zack gestured at Mr. Lansbury, the spilled soup soaked and crawled into his polo shirt, making a wet, darkening patch across his side.
The demon itself is long gone by now, Not Simon said. It's hard to explain, but speaking of...
He dug a glass spray bottle out of his school bag.
He twisted the spray cap before spraying Nathan and Mr. Lansbury in the face.
What's that? Zack blinked.
Diluted monk pole broth.
Not Simon shook the bottle.
What broth? You haven't heard of monk pole broth? The broth that all spirits must drink before reincarnation, so they'll forget their past life?
No. Not Simon quirked a brow.
Your mom isn't very big on telling you Chinese myths, is she?
No, she likes sci-fi stories more. Zack clutched his mom's hand tighter, thinking of the old sci-fi shows she'd watch with him on their computer as they ate dinner. Things like Star Trek and Ultraman.
Well... This is a diluted version of monk pole broth. At this concentration, a single spray just makes someone forget the past hour. These two shouldn't wake up with any memories of being possessed. I did the same to your classmates,
Now they're just confused about why they suddenly found themselves soaking wet on the field. There's no way to explain the lightning damage to the track, but we can let the people here come to their own conclusions. Oh, and that kid who got possessed is fine, by the way.
Okay. Zack supposed he should be relieved, but he was too overwhelmed to think about Aiden. He just wanted to skip to the part where his mom woke up, and the first thing out of her mouth was if he finished his homework, and everything was normal again.
But what's this about going to China?
I can't. They killed my dad for speaking up against the government.
Not Simon shared a long, awkward look with the First Emperor before saying,
I understand your fear, but we can protect you. We have many more resources in China.
Then why didn't you protect my dad?
We didn't have the resources then, the First Emperor snapped. It took a while for us to regain a foothold in the mortal world.
Zachary, not Simon, said, in a much gentler tone than the Emperor, what happened to your father was horrific and unforgivable. But you must remember that the Chinese government does not represent our people. It acts with its own agenda, an agenda the average citizen has no control over, and most of those average citizens would never think of hurting you.
So you guys want to take down the Chinese government?
Zack reflexively lowered his voice.
Well, no. We don't interfere with mortal affairs, only spirit ones.
And such is the entire point, said the First Emperor. Throughout history, the influence of spirits has only ever made the world more chaotic. They possess regular folk and amplify their darkest desires, like that boy, Aiden, and his greed. Which is why, 2,200 years ago, a siren wailed through the night, warping closer.
Not Simon opened the front door to peer outside, letting in a whistling draft and a louder siren sound, then shut it to face Zack again.
We'll explain more later. Your neighbors must have called the police, so you need to get your story straight. Say this was an armed robbery. Your mom was attacked. I, Simon, was over playing Mithril with you. She screamed for us to not come out, so we both huddled in terror in your room. We heard your landlord and his son come down to help, but they got knocked out as well.
I'm supposed to explain this to the police?
It doesn't have to be coherent. Just act terrified and confused at any detailed questions. We'll take care of the rest.
Not Simon shut his eyes. A spasm passed his face, and his hair stirred with a sudden wind. The floating tag beside him changed. Simon Li. Li Shuda, Tang Taizong's host. 12-year-old boy from Shanxi, China.
Zack abruptly figured out why Simon looked so familiar.
Wait, Li Shuda? He shot to his feet. As in Shuda Li, the Mithrealm world champion?
Simon's eyes stuttered open, and suddenly he was moving and speaking like an awkward kid again, his Mandarin accent returning too.
Oh, yeah, that's me. That's my Chinese name. Here.
He swept his bangs out of his eyes and made a more stern expression. His face instantly matched the posters Zack had seen of Shuda Li. He usually had his hair gelled up and looked like he was ready to kick anyone's butt with his virtual creatures.
You're that kid who beat out hundreds of thousands of adults, Zack stammered. You won $5 million.
Simon let his bangs go while lowering his head, looking especially guilty with the police sirens approaching.
I didn't. I mean, it wasn't me who won all those battles. I liked the game, but I'm nowhere near world champion level. Tang Taizong was the one battling. He was a genius strategist who helped his dad reunite China when he was only 20. So he, had no problem trouncing a bunch of video game nerds.
Zack slumped down next to his mom again, head throbbing as it became split between freaking out over her and trying to make sense of the boy standing before him.
Wait. Did the kidnapping have anything to do with this?
Zack had watched the drama go down live. It had been one of the most exciting things to happen on the internet. Xu Da Li had been disqualified from the finals for not showing up in time, only to turn up on his own livestream with proof that he'd been kidnapped and had barely escaped. The whole finals arena and millions of stream watchers had gone berserk, demanding XY Technologies delay the finals until Xu Da could make it there. Zack had spammed quite a few hashtag let Xu Da play hashtags into the chat.
Right, that was Jason Xuan, trying to stop me from winning. He realized I was an emperor host. He's also the reason we entered the championship. Besides the money, I mean. Which we did need. We were mainly there to investigate XY Technologies. It's a long story, but just think of me as Simon Lee, not Xu Da Li, okay?
Simon pleaded. Jason Shen knows about this... Zack gestured wildly at Simon, lost on how to describe this situation.
He more than knows, the first emperor cut in. He's a host himself for the source of all our problems. We'll explain everything later. Right now, you must focus. Law enforcement incoming!
A muscle twitched under Zack's eye. He couldn't do anything but hold on to his mom's hand, praying she'd suddenly wake up and brush this off, like she did her toughest days of work. Or that this was just a nightmare, and he'd bolt up in his bed any second. Neither of those things happened. There was only the weight of her hand in his, chillingly cold, chillingly real. Not cooking him delicious food, or pointing out scientific phenomenon to him, or fussing over his messy hair anymore. Oh, he'd have no problem acting terrified and confused for the police.